Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Word 50 Radio. This is Word 60 Radio, and we're bringing it to you on this Monday, May 16th, 2011. And I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we have a very special guest this evening on the show. We have Miss Nikki Urban, who's going to be here today, and she's going to be talking with us about her books. So sit back and relax as we bring you Word 60 Radio. Here on Word 60 Radio this evening, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, as we bring you today's show on this Monday, May 16th, 2011. And we're just glad to be able to come on today, and we're going to have a phenomenal guest here who we're going to introduce here in just a second, but we just wanted to kind of let people know a little bit about what's going on in the world of Red Snapper as well. We also wanted to let you know that the book Seductive Company is doing pretty good, but we still need to get reviews from you guys, and you know, just let us know what you think about the book. So, you know, if you get a chance, or if you haven't got it yet, you know, it's available out there on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all the book outlets. And it's also available in Kindle and Nook, so you can get that as well. So, you know, just go ahead and get yourself a copy of Seductive Company, written by me and Sexy India. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to go ahead and make way for our guest, and we're going to bring her on. She's a phenomenal author as well as a publisher, and we're going to bring her on right now. Miss Nikki Urban, are you there?
I am. Can you guys hear me out there?
Well, how you doing, Nikki?
I'm well. How about yourself, Mr. Snapper?
I'm doing just fine. We're just happy to have you on the show, and we're glad that you had some time in your schedule that you can stop by and chat with us for a little while.
Always anything for you, and you know this.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that specialness. So, you know, we definitely are glad to have you. And what we would like to do right now is just kind of give you a chance to kind of let people know who you are, even though they probably do anyway. Just kind of introduce yourself and tell them about your books and things that you got coming up.
Well, my name is Nikki Urban. I'm an author of two books. My latest book is called Damaged Goods. And my first book was called Jay's Diary. I write in the genre of erotic. I'm writing right now, trying to get together some new projects and new endeavors. We just basically relaunched our publishing company, Diamond Stone Productions. We currently have one author on our label. His name is Spade. We hope to have him out by the end of this year. We are currently accepting manuscripts for our anthology to be put out next year, 2012, and for open submissions as well. So that's just a little bit of my world. My schedule is getting a little hectic. I have a book signing coming up this week in Atlanta, and then after that, from Atlanta, we're going to D.C., and from D.C. back to Atlanta, and then from Atlanta back to Baltimore. So my summer schedule is a little hectic, so just trying to keep it together and get my work done.
Okay. All right, well, you know, that's how you want to be. You want to be busy, so we're glad that you got that going on. And we'll be getting questions as well, probably from the chat room, and probably get some questions from those that may be calling in as well. So, but if anybody is listening right now and you want to listen to the show and you don't want to listen to it on your phone, if you go to www.redsnappersplayhouse.com, you can listen to the show while we're talking live right now. And that way you can listen to it and don't have to hold a phone up to your ear. Or if you want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. And this is Word Sexy Radio, grown folks radio, and we do it all here on this show. So Nikki, what are you working on right now? You said you had some new stuff coming up. But well, before we get into that, let's talk about the first book. And kind of give people an idea about your first book.
Well, my first book, like I said earlier, is called Jay's Diary. It's about a young lady when her mother just suddenly died all of a sudden, and her mother leaves her diary to her to read. And as the young lady is reading her mother's diary, she ventures on basically a whole other dimension of her mother's life. Like, she didn't know her mother was basically a sex addict. She just was all over the place and had different lovers and just a whole variety of things. So when she's reading her mom's diary, she's in total state of shock and find out how ridiculous her mother is and how she manipulates her lovers to do what she wants her to do beyond the grave. And just basically tells through that diary, she goes into a whole other life of her mom and just a basically total shock. And she just finds out she's very, very, to say at least, she's very trifling. She's very
talented. Wow. So what inspired you to write this story? How did you come up with the concept and the character reference to this?
Well, I would say I'm a different type of writer. I just happened to see a plot in my head. I had no characters. I didn't even have a title. I just saw something in my head that I wanted to put down on paper. And I got it to the computer one day, and it just came out into James' diary.
Okay. Well, that's usually how it works. That's usually how it goes. So we're just wondering, you know, because a lot of the people out there that are inspiring authors that want to write, they also have questions on what starts you and how do you get started. So, you know, everybody has their own way of doing it. There's really no right way. Some people come up with the title first of the book, and some come with the story and then the title. So it just depends. But how did you come up with yours? Yes. What do you do? Do you do the title first, or do you do the story and then the title?
Sometimes I'll have a title, then I'll go from there. But the majority of times, I will basically just see something in my head, a plot, like I said, with no characters, no anything, and then it just comes to me, you know, through my fingers to the computer. I mean, I just basically see a concept in my head, and I just go from there. I don't do the outline or anything like that. So I just happen to see it sometimes.
Okay.
That's basically how I do it.
So, you know, I'm going to ask you some of the basic questions that most people ask. Is there any characters in the book that resemble or that is for me, or, you know, part of you, or any of the characters having your characteristics, or are you in the book?
Oh, no.
You know, we always get that question all the time, you know. Who are you in the book? You know what I'm saying? So we want to go ahead and get that out there right now.
The books I write to everyone out there are strictly fictional. They're not based on anyone that I know. They're not based on myself. They're just basically fictional characters, strictly in my imagination. And sorry, I'm not any characters in my book. I have done some things in my life, but I don't think I've gone that far.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, you know how it is. You know, a lot of times, like I said, people, they always, you know, ask that question. I know when I'm out sometimes, you know, people, especially with the kind of books I write, they always try to find out if you're somewhere in there or what inspired you for that. So, but we're going to see if there's any questions out there right now. I'm going to go into the phone lines and see if there's anyone who may have a question. I'm going to go to caller with the area code 540. Do you have a question for our guest? Okay, they may not have a question. How about 225? Do you have a question? Okay, no, they don't have a question. All right, so, but we're just glad to have you on the show. So we understand that. Now the, what I really want to know is, and this is the one that I've read, I want to know about the book that's out now, Damaged Goods. Let's talk about that.
What do you want to know?
You know, just, you know, you can just, go ahead.
I said, could you hear me?
Huh?
Rick Snapper, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Yeah, you can just go ahead and start explaining. That's fine.
Okay. Okay. Well, Damaged Goods is basically about a young lady. She experiences a traumatic experience to her. Basically, she's raped at the age of 16. Consequently of the rape, she ends up becoming pregnant. And she goes on by her life. You know, normally she gets married, has some other kids, what have you. But, you know, sometimes wounds never heal. So when her child is in the sent to jail for basically the same crime of rape as his biological father, the mother enacts a revenge plot on the man who took her innocence. So basically she enlists a whole lot of people from his life to help her to basically take him down. And basically they act revenge on him that's worse than a death itself. And that's basically gist of what Damaged Goods is about. I mean, it basically tells a story about how one event in one person's life can damage the lives of everyone else around them.
Wow. So what inspired you to write that story? I mean, I mean, it's just interesting. What inspired you to come up with the concept for the damaged goods and the characters that you came with?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say the concept behind damaged goods. Well, I wanted to write something a little different from what I wrote the first time, a little bit more out the box. So, like I said, I saw something, you know, I saw a traumatic little thing happen to somebody, and then I said, okay, well, what if I put it like this? What if I make her basically not crazy, but just basically revenge on this guy? How is she and enlist other people? How would she basically convince other people to go along with what she's asking them to do? So I took that one piece of concept and I just gathered the pieces, piece of the puzzle. But what I did know, I wanted to have a very mean, strong woman in there. So I wanted to make my main character in there, which is Vashti. I wanted to make her very mean but very strong, you know, in between a mixture of a strong but mean as well. So I just wanted her to be very strong to get her point across. And I'm not saying or advocating people who have had traumatic experiences happen to them in their life in no way, shape, or form to go about and act revenge on anybody else. I mean, it does feel good, don't get me wrong, but I would not suggest that to anybody. I just know, little thoughts that go through my mind every night again, you know, how will this happen or how will this person feel? How can I do this person, whatever case may be? So that's just some of the thoughts that run through my head sometimes.
Right. Well, you know, just remember, everybody that's listening, this is fiction. So, I mean, I know a lot of movies and all that stuff, people get ideals and stuff like that from it, but I don't think that they'll, you know, probably do that. But let me see if we got a question. I think we may have a question. I think it was 225. Do you have a question? Your last four, 7759. Do you have a question? Hello?
This is 225. This is Kim.
How are you doing?
Oh, my God. I know him.
Damaged goods is off the chain. The classic tale of revenge. If you want a mystery, if you want, you know, whodunit, and, I mean, it was a really good book. It was a really good book.
Is this my girl, Kim? Kim Knight?
Yes, it is.
Is Kim Knight? Well, hello, Miss Kim.
Hello, Red. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I just wanted to say hello to you. Because this woman right here is a very, very good supporter of books and
she
all
sure
kinds
is.
Of stuff. And we just love her. So I'm just glad that she was able to get in.
But,
yeah, one of these days I'm going to get some people to read my book, and hopefully they'll see what they think about some of the stuff that I got out there, because I tell you, I know I got some crazy stuff going on as well.
I know that new one with the great cover. I want to get that one.
What's that again?
Oh, my God.
The new one that you have with the great cover and the lady on the front. What's the name of it?
Oh, Memoirs of a Creole Crime Cartel, or is it the new one that's out, Seductive Company?
I think it's Seductive Company.
Yeah, that one, that has the former porn star Sexy India on the front.
Oh.
Yeah. Did I mess you up with that one?
Yeah,
I hope I didn't mess you up with that. She's a co-author of the book.
My big girl peel and start reading some of it. So I'm good. I'm good. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Kim, it's really good.
All right.
Kim, it's really good book. I'm reading it now. It's really good.
You know, if you like erotica, I mean, I think it's a little bit deeper. Not trying to take anything from Miss Zane, who, you know, I admire. But I think that, and we're not really talking about me. I'm going to say this and I'm going to leave it alone. I think the book is very, very seductive. I don't want to say risque. Well, risque is a word, too. But, I mean, I think it's not just sex, though. It's a story. You have to read the whole thing to find out what's really going on. But, you know, it's not just sex from one page to the next. But let's get back to damaged goods, because that's what we're here for. And we want to kind of get Nikki going. So, and I appreciate you, Nikki, for saying that. And, you know, but
it is. It's brilliant, my book.
Okay. So, Kim, did you have any more questions?
No, I'm good.
You good? Okay. Well, we appreciate you calling in, okay?
Thank you, Kim.
Okay. All right. She's okay. Let me see who this might be right here, this 713 number. Who is this calling in?
Now, you know who it is.
I know, brother, but I just got to make sure everybody know. This is the incomparable DV Hint on the line.
What?
Say hi to Nikki.
Hey, Herb.
Hey,
good evening. How are you?
I'm good.
How are you doing tonight?
Now, man, DV, I'm stressed. I just got off of work, and, you know, they're trying to run me ragged.
DV, I think one of your fans is on the chat room, and they asked if you was going to be here, and I told them that you would be a little late, but you're here. So say hi to Mickey.
I know. I'll say hi to her later. I know where she is.
Okay, all right. Well, she's on here, so I just want you to know that she is. Okay, well, let's get back to Nikki, because we're here for Nikki. This is Nikki's time, so... And she's already explained a couple of her books, and now I guess it's time for us to kind of get Nikki to kind of tell us about some future stuff without really putting it out there. What are some of the new things that you got that you're thinking about doing? And I know you have an anthology that you're getting ready to do. You're asking for people to do submissions for that. Tell us more about all of that.
Well, our anthology, we're looking for at least 6 or 7 unsigned authors who are currently not in a contract or are hungry and ready to think, you know, get their work out there to the public. There's going to be a
does that count?
Release.
Does that? Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. I'll wait. No, I'm sorry. I should have butt in. Now, I was going to ask you, does that count authors like me and DV? I mean, we hungry and we ain't signed. Can we? We can't write. Come on now, we want to write some sex stories. You know we want to do that.
I suggest you submit them all starting June 1st. How about that?
Oh, okay, all right. Like, well, go ahead and finish explaining. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead, Nikki.
Oh, my goodness. So it comes out next year, so we're setting it for next year to come out hopefully the beginning of sometime next year. I'm not exactly sure, but we're trying to get it out for next year. I'm currently writing on something. I'm not sure if I really, really like it or not, so I don't want to say too much about it. But I'm kind of, like, in the midst of it now, so something I like, something I don't like about it, so I'm just trying to figure out, you know, if I like it or not. I like it enough to put out there. And I'm also trying to work on the sequel and the prequel to Jay Valerie right now.
Okay. Okay, and I also heard that you were saying something about going on some book tours. You got a book signing in Atlanta coming up.
Yeah, I have a book signing the 20th of this month in Atlanta at Nubian Bookstore. I'm going to be Atlanta. I leave from Atlanta. I go to, I want to say, D.C. I'm going to be the Cartel Book and also Street Scriptures, D.C. and Baltimore, the beginning of next month. And then I leave from there, I go back to Atlanta again. And then from Atlanta, I come back to D.C. for the DMV Book Festival. And then at the end of the next month, I have a Urban Knowledge bookstore signings in Baltimore. And then something else after that. And I hope to be, New Orleans. That's where I'm going. To New Orleans in the end of June to the Bayou Soul Classic Readers Conference.
Right, right.
And then
that's down there with Clarence Nero. Okay.
I'm going to be there. And also, I'm trying to come to the conference in St. Louis end of September.
Yeah, Fall in the Books. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's going to be in September. Yeah, we'll all be there. If you come to that, we're going to be acting crazy because I'm going to be acting like I'm going to be acting a fool. I'm going to tell you that right now because I'm going to be right there. I'm going to be right there. So if you don't want to act a fool with me, you better not let me see you because I'm going to be doing it anyway.
I plan to be there. I plan to be there.
Okay. Well, that would be good. We're going to have good amount of people there then because we got a lot of folks coming in for that conference. And I was invited to go to the National Book Club conference. I'm still debating. I'm probably going to go, but that's going to be in Atlanta in the end of July. Yeah, I think I probably will. Bryce Hickman asked me. That's the only reason why I'm thinking about going, because she asked me to come. So, but go ahead, DB.
Yeah, shit, man. You only live once. Do it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's better that you said you did it than you sit back and kick yourself in the behind. You never got a chance.
Absolutely.
You know, so
absolutely.
Like,
you're right.
What I'm doing. You know, like
especially
everybody
with
doing. Yeah, you know, everybody moving, man, you got to move around, you know what I'm saying? Because fans don't stay in one place. You know, you may catch
fans,
you know, heading south, going out west. You know, people who never heard of you, you know, all of a sudden now you got to follow them. So, you know, never limit yourself now.
And you're right. And
exactly.
I'm going to go. I'm just honored that Trice Hickman asked me to even come because, you know, she's very good author, very, very, very phenomenal author that's out there. I had a chance to meet her, and she's a very nice person, you know, because a lot of authors, you know, not all of them, but there are some that, you know, you just can't touch. But there are a few of us that are still humble, that we just go ahead on, and no matter how big we get, we go ahead and we still, you know, embrace others and try to help people. So because of her asking me, I'm definitely going to go. So, and it's only a weekend, so, I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Weekend in Atlanta, you know, it's in the... I am. You should go, man.
Atlanta,
it's
going to
be that last weekend in July, man, if you can.
Man, I wish I could, but the real, like, I'll be at a wedding at the,
okay.
Like, I'm doing, at the same time I'm doing the wedding, I'm doing a book club meeting. So it's exactly the same day, but in two different cities. So, you know, I'm already stretched real thin at the end of July. Like, it's looking very, very bleak for your boy.
Oh, man. Okay.
But, you know, getting back to Nikki, you know, because I didn't get the chance to hear the first 20 minutes and everything. You know, between, you know, Jade's Diary and Damaged Goods and whatnot, I did a little research and noticed that you really tell your story from a lesbian's perspective, a lesbian point of view. So my question was, is this from personal experience or is this, you know, just part of your fantastic imagination?
Let me put out the third one. I am happily married. Chris.
She's definitely married.
I am happily married. I've been married almost 5 years. It's just, you know, I know some lesbians. You know, I've been around lesbians. I have no problem with gay people. So they are in me. You know, so no, that's not, it's not about me or anything like that. You know, I love my husband very much. I'm positive. I'm very positive.
Wow.
It's not me, but
might
be with somebody else.
Baby girl, the way you shout, I'm going to be right next to you. That man right next to you, like, yeah, you better say that, girl.
Well, okay.
I am very happy.
All right.
Very happily married.
All right.
Okay. Well, let's see if we have another question out there in the phone line. Last 4-5-9-2-2. That's area code is 216. You have a question? Okay. They may not have a question. How about 4774? Last four from 216. You have a question? They do not. Okay. All right, so we'll keep going. I'm going to look at the chat real quick while DV is asking some more questions. But there are some. There's a little bit going on chat. And like I said before, earlier, if you can't listen to the phone line, you can always pick us up on www.redsnappersplayhouse.com. The chat is working well. We got a lot of people out there on the chat. What I'm going to do is start putting that chat out, you know, just cutting and pasting it, and people can just blend right in. And I see that Mickey is saying that she loves lesbians. Okay. All right. I don't know what that means. But anyway, well, let's let that go. and I see Just Me is out there. Are you listening, Just Me?
Hey, I'll be the first to tell you, I love lesbians too.
All right. Let's talk about lesbians. We're not going to talk negative. We're going to talk positive. Come on, DV. Since you opened the door, let's talk lesbians. Tell us about it. Why do you like them?
Oh, me? Why? Why not?
Of course.
Hey, you can learn a lot. You know what I'm saying? You can learn a lot from a lesbian. So
let me say this real quick. I met this beautiful lesbian who is not a lesbian anymore. She decided not to do it anymore. But she has some pointers out on how to eat. And I hope I'm not going to offend anyone, but how to eat pussy. The name of her book is called Bedroom Secrets of an Ex-Lesbian, and her name is Brandy and Brandy Lee, and she's out there in Atlanta, and if you want to pick up, she has it on audio, and she explains to you how you can turn out your woman. And she's doing it to tell men how to turn their women out from her experiences as being a lesbian. So you definitely want to do that. The name of that book is Bedroom Secrets of an Ex-Lesbian. And I listened to the whole CD, man. That shit turned me out. I know her. I was like, damn. You can eat pussy like that? Damn. Okay.
That's
anyway.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
Because I'm a pussy eater, and that
God.
Shit was like, okay, let me get off of me. But anyway,
yeah,
you said you like him because of what?
Don't sleep on
him. Huh?
Like, I had my first threesome with a couple of, they weren't lesbians, but, you know, they were gay friendly. So we just leave it there.
Okay, well, you know, that's fun. We like that shit, so. Well, I forgot to tell you, Nikki, this is grown folks radio. This is Word Sexy Radio, so we say what the fuck we want on here. I'm sorry. I knew we was all nice to you earlier, but now that you've been on here for at least an hour, we're going to let it all hang out.
Have you read a chapter one of her books? Man, this is nice talk.
I have her book. She sent me Damn It's Good, so I know her shit's fucked up like
man,
that. I like
read
it.
Read a chapter out of that shit. Man,
matter of fact, we should let her read a chapter.
Man, your mouth gonna feel dirty. You're like, oh my God, I can't be said all these words together.
Damn. Okay. Well, so Nikki, then you reading Seductive Company wasn't nothing to you then.
No, that first thing in that book was like, oh, wow, hold up. Now, I'm already ready for that.
Yeah.
I was like, dang, hold up. Wow, like, that was, you're talking about me. Now, you got some dirty going on in your thoughts.
Well, you know, Mr. Valentine here, the man with the Valentine book here, you know, DV, man, his book is just off the chain. Matter of fact, DV, if you didn't know, you got 5 stars today on Goodreads from, I forget who it was that put it out there, but you got a 5-star rating today. And I congratulate you on that.
Congratulations.
I appreciate it. But you know what? I'm a perfectionist. And if I, like, real talk, if I saw 4 stars, my heart would stop for a second. But, you know, I get past it. You know, I'm a perfectionist at heart, and I love that people love what I do. But, you know, as long as it's 5-star, I'm like, yeah, I deserve it. When I see 4 stars, man, I'm ready to fight somebody. For real. I'm like, we just kind of listen up a lot.
Let's do his ass, toot his own horn. That's okay.
But he deserves that shit. You know, like I know, as authors, man, we're sensitive about our shit. You know what I'm saying? Because
we put
ourselves out there. Being an author is the truest sense of who you can be. Because you can't protect yourself from what people will say. So as long as they're saying good things, you know, it hits your pride directly. It's like, you know, somebody massaging your pride. But when they talk shit about your book, there's nothing you want to do more than ram their face into a wall. So, I mean, because you can't protect from that. You can't protect yourself from that. It's like, you know, it's like somebody walking up to you and slapping you and saying, yo mama. I mean, you know what you're supposed to do? You know?
Yeah.
You're supposed to take it? No, yo mama.
Damn. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Damn. But, yeah. But you're right, though, man. I mean, we all, as authors, all of us, Nikki knows, and we all try to, you know, we really try our best when we put our stuff out, you know, and like we were talking about the editing and all that. We try to do our best so that everybody can enjoy the story. And that's what I do. I try to do it because I'm trying my best to give a great story, and I don't want to give the same kind of story that everybody else is doing. That's why I have a bunch of crazy shit in my books. Even though it's a lot of sex, it's not just sex. There's plots and there's stories, and Nikki's books are like that too. So, and you know, I just think that's the thing that you want to do. You want to be a little different than what everybody else is doing out there. And we kind of talked about that before.
Exactly.
And But, you know, I think that's important. You know, you got to do that because to survive, you got to have something that nobody else has.
Right.
And I think that's important. Go ahead, Nikki.
That's
very, very true.
You want to be different for everyone else. You want to be out the box. To me, going either hard left or hard right, that's the best thing to do. You feel me? To me, there's no in between. Either I'm going to go hard left or hard right, and give it to a wall, and I'm cut.
Right. And that's what it's about, you know, like I said. Yeah. So DV, did you get squared away today, the stuff I gave you? I mean, did that help you out?
Like, okay.
You can't remember?
The list of
names?
Man, that's the only thing that got me out this early, because they was really trying to clamp it down. So, you know, you was about to see DV in the news.
Man,
go crazy.
Oh, man. So, Nikki, I know you wasn't prepared to do this, but we got 54 minutes, and guess what? Since DV has promoted your books in such a manner, we would like for you to read a little segment of your Lesbian Love Fest. How do you feel about that?
I'm waiting to hear this one.
Okay, so are you going to do that for us this evening? We want you to pick whatever the fuck you want to read so that we can understand where you're coming from. How about that?
Baby girl, you know your books better than we do. We know you know the nasty
right.
part, so just
That's
go
right.
ahead.
Just bring that shit on out so we can...
okay.
As long as
there's
some... I want to hear some licking, though. You got to have some of that going on.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, hang on. Which one y'all want? Y'all want Jay's Diary? That one has a lot of licking in that one.
Which
I
one is the hardest? I thought Damaged Goods was the one that I got. That's the one that's got all the shit in it, eh?
They both
are the chain.
You can't just read this shit. You better talk dirty while you're reading it. I want to hear nasty.
Okay.
I want to hear nasty ooze out your mouth.
Okay. Well, then I tell you what, Nikki. Just read whatever you feel, and we will just go along with it, okay? Now, audience, I want y'all to be ready for this, because she's going to read this thing. And it's going to be off the damn chain, so I want y'all to listen. And if y'all not listening, y'all need to tell your buddies and pals out there, this is Word Sexy Radio, and we're bringing it to you right now. So just let us know when you're ready, Nikki.
After her ass is done, I want her husband to yank her off the phone, be like, you got to go, girl.
All right, girl, whenever you're ready.
Oh, okay, hang on, okay. I'm going to read from Jay's Diary, and this is going to be, I think, like the first chapter of Jay's Diary, the second chapter of Jay's Diary.
Okay.
Okay.
As long as her head is in between some thighs. Okay, go ahead. All right, go ahead.
Okay, let me just make sure this is okay. All right. I got to get to the right page. Okay.
Okay.
I'm reading Jay's Diary. Okay.
All right.
You could have set an appointment with my receptionist. It wasn't necessary for you to speak with me, Vivian said. But truth be told, I would like to see you for old time's sake over drinks. So why don't you let me send a limo for you and we can go to your favorite steakhouse? I already made reservations for us. I knew if I came with honey, she would bite like sweet nectar. Okay, Dave, have a car at my house about 8:30. With that said, she hung up the phone with a confirmation of her anticipated date. She finished the last of her paperwork on her desk. She ordered a limo and took the rest of the day off. She needed to look good for tonight. She needed a fresh manicure and pedicure. After her appointment at the day spa and a bite to eat, she went home to get ready for the evening and decided to wear a Ralph Lauren black pinstripe pantsuit. With red see-through camisole. She wanted Vivian to see her hard nipples through her shirt. Her heart-shaped Tiffany necklace and earrings were her accessories, and on her feet, she wore black open-toed high-heeled coach shoes. She had a busy night ahead of her and she needed to be on her A-game. The limo was at her house by 8, and they were arriving at 1563 Trailblaze Drive by 8:20. Vivian walked from her house with a sultry strut and a flawlessly made face. The sight of her made her want to chase her. When she got in the limo, she was greeted with the usual saying, "Well, good evening, lady. You look absolutely stunning." I told her, with everything in me trying hard not to lean over and take her in the back seat. "Thank you. You look good yourself," she said. As they rode to the restaurant, they talked, but she could not help herself. She wanted her. She grabbed Vivian by her face and began to kiss her lips. She was surprised by the action, but did not resist her. She slowly kissed her neck and followed her breath. And she moved her hands down her inner thigh and separated her legs. She needed to get her hands inside of her secret garden. Her moans of pleasure in her ear made her want her even more at that very moment. She licked her finger and placed it on her clit. She began to manipulate her clit in circular motions and then placed her thumb inside of her pussy. She saw juices coming down her hand and whispered in her ear, "Baby, don't come too soon. I want to feel your sweet juice in my mouth." As she was talking in her ear, she was sliding her black thumb down her legs and placed her white nipple in her mouth and slowly sucked it. She threw her head back in ecstasy. Vivian laid flat on the seat and placed her legs over her shoulders. And she licked and sucked her clit and licked and sucked her until she passed out. "Vivian, do you want Bobby?" she asked. Vivian looked at her and said, "Please, baby, give me Bobby. Oh, baby, I want him." She told her she already had Bobby, her double-headed dildo, on. She pulled down her pants and placed Bobby in her first. Her pussy was throbbing so hard that she had to ride him first. Wanting both of them to come, she placed the other end inside of her. They rode until they both got off. She wasn't done yet. She wanted her pussy in. She got on top of Vivian's tongue to let her taste her. That's the one thing she missed about her. She always ate her pussy until she almost had a seizure. By the time they finally got to the restaurant, they both had worked up an appetite. After dinner, they made love over and over for the rest of the night. It was 4 in the morning by the time the limo picked her up from her house. But she had accomplished what she set out to do for the night and got in good graces with Vivian, and she also got that appointment on the same day as Rosa's. The end.
Wow. That was some hot-ass shit. What the fuck, man? Hey, man, DV.
Hold up.
DV.
I need a woosah right now.
What was you doing, man? Was you playing with yourself?
No, I wasn't.
You can't be doing
that
shit, man.
I'm jerking off right now to your voice.
Not to my shit. You better not be, goddammit. Anyway, but check this out.
This is what I'm going to say. Ruined it.
I know, I fucked it up. But anyway, check this out. For those of you who want to get more of this kind of talk, you need to come to Red Snappers Guild. Because you know I got that going on right now, and you can talk all the shit you want on there. But anyway, back to the story. That shit was off the fucking chain. You know what I'm saying? I like stuff like that because, you know, I'm just a freak. And if I can read stuff like that, that's it. You know what I'm saying? Women, men, you know, I ain't gonna get with the guys, but yeah.
I don't know, man. You kind of breathing hard when that double sided dildo came in the story.
No, I don't want that shit in my ass. But anyway, go ahead. So how did you come? Now, Nikki? Did you come up? Did you actually interview some lesbians, or did you said you didn't do the experience? So how did you come up with the concepts? But did you?
I know.
Come on,
now,
tell us. Tell us what you did.
I know people who are lesbians. I know males who are gay. I went to school. I went to college. I should say, a whole bunch of lesbian women and males there. So I mean, you see a lot. You see a lot of things, and then you know, I know a couple people who do a lot of sex toys, the sex toy stuff like that. So I know a couple of little nasty little toys out there, some kind of way. So I mean, I took all that, put it together. That's you come up with.
So did you use the toys for yourself, not with another woman, but just kind of play with your shit and everything, so you get the idea or concept of sticking it in your pussy and all that, or what? What did you? I mean, you had to see some kind of visuals here or something, right?
I don't need visuals. No, I don't need visuals. My mom's already vivid enough.
You hear that, DV? DV, you hear that shit? Come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wish they had a phone lie detector. If they had a phone lie detector right now, that shit would just be going off like crazy.
You ain't
like,
lying. Anyway.
You are lying.
I am not.
Z, wait, Nick, you stay in Jacksonville, right?
I do.
Okay, see, I went to Cookman. You know, so I know how Florida girls get. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm not even from
Well, do
here.
Tell. Shit, I don't know how the Florida girls get. Tell us.
Man, you ain't seen a thick one until you seen a Florida girl, man. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Like, whoo,
okay.
Like, I'm catching a flashback. Hold
damn,
on. Let me
put aside. Well, goddamn. Oh, shit. Okay.
Man, like.
She thick, huh? Okay,
but like I said, it was when I went to Cookman, which is like a private school, and you're not really supposed to have sex on campus. Yeah, you're not supposed to have sex on campus. Man, it was just like a big whole house. Girls was nasty.
I bet.
Guys was nasty. I was like, man, this is where I need to be. This is where I really need to be. You know what I'm saying? Because Florida girls, like as you know, Southern women and Florida girls are two different things. Completely different things. Florida girls, they're a deception to the Southern Belle. They get nasty and they tell you they nasty. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
So
sounds like he's got some experience.
That's what I appreciate.
Sounds like he got some damn experience. So all right, so Nikki, I got you. We got it. So now you be right about this. So let me ask you this. Your books have been out for a while. How has the lesbian side of people, you know, the lesbian, what's the word I want to say, lesbian crowd, how have they accepted your books? Have they gave you any feedback or anything on that?
Or pointers?
I haven't had any critiques by lesbians or by gay males yet, but I'm open to all criticism.
So you keep saying gay men, it's some faggots. I'm sorry, I ain't trying to. I don't want to say that. There's some gay men in your book as well.
No, I haven't done that.
No,
I haven't done that yet. I haven't tried that one yet.
Well, you keep saying gay men. I was wondering if you had a section in there with some gay dudes doing some shit. You know, I didn't know.
I gotta be inclusive. I gotta include the males too. I gotta be inclusive.
Well, you got to, because I had to do that in Scandalous Motives, the second book that I did, Relentless Ambitions to the series. I had to put a gay relationship in there because if I didn't want to look one sided, and I didn't want to have it where I'm just having this guy just having sex with all these women and two and three women and all this stuff. So there was a gay situation in that book. I had to bring it out and it was hard writing it, but it was an experience. No, I ain't no faggot. Don't even try it. Anyway, no, but it was. That's part of being a writer. You got to be able to create and to come up with concepts, even if you never experienced it. So I'm that's why I'm trying to get Nikki to say, but she's not saying that. She's running away from that, which makes me believe that she may have had some experiences there. No,
don't get me wrong. Like I believe in, you know, like one of the my life is, you know, a gay man. But this is the difference. Like me, as far as writing a gay man scene, that's a bit overwhelming on my senses, man. Like that, like whenever I write a scene, if my dick is hard, then that's a good scene. I can't write no scene with two dudes and still maintain a hard dick.
So what the fuck you trying to say to me, man? What are you trying to say? I wrote the damn scene, I got through the shit, and I'll never write another one again. Okay, now.
I was just saying, you're a special brother.
But check this out. Let me say this because the book I'm writing now called Acts of Congress is about a transvestite. So you know that shit's hard too. But I gotta do something different, man.
What I'm saying is, like, if you were to write a hardcore scene with two dudes juking each other in the booty hole, I can't read that, man. That's too much for me.
Well, I don't want you to read it. It's for the women. The women like that shit.
I don't know many women that can read that. There's some women I know that watch gay porn, and I mean, when I say gay porn, I mean two dudes going at it. Like, I got a friend who watched dudes wrestle, and then the loser got to suck the other dude dick. Now, me personally, I can't do that shit. Every time I turn around and walk right back out. And I'm like, yeah,
hey,
but I'll holler at you later.
TV, I'm not a faggot, man. Okay, I was just writing a story.
I
was just writing
a
damn story, man.
You
don't have to put
me
out like that, man. You ain't got to put me out like that. And I don't have to convince myself. I know I love pussy, but damn. It was just a damn fiction story. No.
I believe you, man. You ain't got to convince me. I believe you.
Listen to him. Now, people out there in Radio Land that's listening to my show, and if you know me, you know that pussy is my thing. So you know I don't be fucking around like that. But I got to give to the audience. And DV trying to put me out like that. But it's okay. He's
no,
my brother.
Man.
He's cool.
I'm just saying that if you say we need to go get pedicures together, I'm going to be a little worried. That's all I'm saying.
Nah, bro. We ain't doing no shit like that. But anyway. Nah, it ain't going to be none of that, man. Hell no. No. But,
oh,
you know.
My God.
All bullshit aside for real, though. You know, that's part of being a writer, that you got to be able to come up with concepts that you wouldn't do, but you still got to make it believable. Yeah, you know, and a scene that you probably wouldn't want to write. Everybody's not going to do that, but I'm just saying, you know, you just have to decide what you're going to do, write about or whatever. Like, some people may not want to write about, like, I like to write stuff sometimes where there's, you know, people have sex and then they get killed. You know, I mean, Jean Holloway does that a lot in her stories. You know, it just, you know, you kill them after you fuck them. You know, you kill them, fuck them good, and kill them.
What are you talking about? After?
Before, and then fuck them, and then while they're dead. I mean, I got a story that I want to do. Like, she does that, too. I have a story that I want to do called the Life of Andrew, which is kind of like that. But, you know, that's way down the line if I even do it. But she does do those kind of stories where there's, you know, they kill them,
yeah,
and then
know,
they have
man.
Sex
like, yeah, she like, you know, she kill some. She had some dude kill a woman, and he'll cut open her chest and fuck her lungs. I'm like, oh, I can't read
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, she's like
I,
that. She's
really
like, yeah, but you're reading it, though, because you're intrigued. You see what I'm saying?
I'm
I got
so intrigued.
And I know she's
like,
not here.
I wonder if you're
going to
go for a
gallbladder.
Oh, my God.
I love Jean.
Hey,
that's her style.
Hey.
But see, Nikki, that goes back to what we were saying earlier, Nikki, about having something different to provide to people, because there's an audience for it. You just got to find your niche and those people that want to read what it is that you have and be different instead of writing the same urban fiction. Nothing against urban fiction people or anybody that's listening. But, you know, the same old story about the drug dealer that goes to jail. He comes out, his woman is with the other guy that he was against, and now he's got to try to get his empire built back again because she was with him and, you know, and the money that was stolen while he went to jail and all this. You know, I mean, we just don't want this shit anymore. But we want to be different.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Because readers sense
exactly.
predictability. When you can predict the end of the story, you kind of don't want to read anymore. You know.
Right.
So
exactly.
it's never about the genre. It's about, you know, keeping it fresh, providing some different story, some different point of view, and that's all people really
exactly.
want.
Exactly. We can say that about
exactly.
my stuff, erotica. We can say that about Christian fiction, which, you know, it's always about Reverend Joe Negro, this fucking sucks a cucumber, and you know, or something like that. I mean, you want it to be a little different. You know what I'm saying? You know, Deacon Ice Cream is over here licking the little boy over here in the corner or some shit. Yeah, you know, just we want to be different. So that's the objective.
Exactly.
I know we went off the chain tonight. And this is what we do on Word Sexy Radio. Now, let me see. I'm looking in the chat right now. Let me see what's going on in the chat.
That's what I'm saying. I know there's some questions, some crazy shit going on.
I'm trying to get some. I'm looking. I see just me out there, and she's talking to Mickey, and I think that's all that's out there. Well, Lisa was out there earlier, and she left. Let's see. She said, point. Well, okay, what do you mean, point, just me? I'm sorry. Any of y'all have a question? She said... She said, okay, no questions. All right, I'm going to leave y'all alone then. But so when you said you're going to have this anthology, Nikki, coming out, and how many authors you said you wanted to have for that?
At least 6 to 7. I'm thinking at least six to seven.
And they'll probably do two stories apiece or three?
It's going to be at least six to seven. It's going to be between 25 and 50 pages long.
Okay.
For each
so,
month,
so my,
for each author.
Okay. So and I, is there like a, you know how a lot of anthologies they do, is it like a one-time fee of a certain amount of price to, for the story if it's selected
it's
or
a,
whatever?
That's correct. It's a one-time fee of $300.
$300.
Okay.
Right.
Fee, $300. So, yeah, that's, it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You heard that now. And she said she wants unsigned, undone authors. Okay. So that means, I guess, DVD, DV, we can't fucking write that shit.
That's not,
I ain't signed. No, I'm not signed. Actually, I'm not. I mean, all the books that I have out right now are, have been published by Midwest Publishing Group, which I am the owner of. So, no. I am not signed. Well, I have an idea. I have a little. Well, I take that back. I have one story, one book that I have. I'm signed with Fee Inc. That I'm doing with, but that's just that one book right now. So, and we'll see how that goes in the future. But right now, is that considered signed? I guess it is. Huh?
No.
Anyway,
in my opinion, it does not.
Okay.
Like in my opinion, it does not. So that does not exclude you too.
Well, you heard what she said, so...
Yeah, so what she really saying, is you got a kick in it, buddy. I'm still single, so...
Whatever. That means...
Well, I'm not married either. Last time I looked, I was single, so what you trying to say, man?
What I'm saying is, as far as, you know, whether you sign the Fee Inc. or not, she's like, yeah, you know, you got a friend with benefits, but DV's still single.
Oh, I see. I got you. I got it now. Okay. Well, let me see. I think we may have a question here from someone here. It looked like down in the Atlanta area. 210, you have a question?
Sweetie, how did you get 210 as Atlanta? This is nothing but Texas.
Well, damn, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I knew it was somewhere down there. Shit, I don't know.
Okay, so do you know
who's calling? Is this just me?
Hi, baby.
Who is this?
This is just me.
Hey, what's going on, girl? How you doing?
Hey, I am just peachy. How are y'all?
We're doing all right. You finally decided to get off the chat room and call in, huh?
But you know what? You didn't read the chat. You need to read what's going on in the chat room,
read the chat.
Let me tell you. It's too much shit going on. I can't read the chat and talk shit and all. I need somebody else to help me.
That's the problem with men. You can't multitask.
Oh, damn, I fell into that shit. Damn, oh, no. DV, how did I fall into that shit?
Yeah, you really did. You stepped in it.
I don't know how the hell I fell into that one. Anyway, okay.
You have got to multitask. See, we're talking about y'all, so you need to multitask.
Well, I saw some stuff, but I didn't read it all. But do I need to go read that while DV talks to you?
You do need to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, DV,
go ahead
and talk
to
him,
man. Say hi to Nikki.
Hi, Nikki. How are you? I am good. I am just wonderful. How are you?
Look at this stuff, man.
Why are men so insecure? Laugh out loud. Crazy men. Laugh out loud. Hey, you are on Laugh Out Loud. Girl, tell it. Tell it, girl. Thank you. Yes, preach. Look at this.
You have to go back a little bit. Go back.
Okay. I want to write. Send us info. Read what we said. Okay, she wants to know about the anthology, which we're going to do that. In the end, okay, what's this, all this other stuff? I think very secure men can write about that and not have to worry about what people say. Oh, yeah, I'm cool with my shit. That's why I wrote that damn faggot shit, because I know I ain't no punk. But anyway. and I'm sorry. I hope I'm not offending anybody that's gay out there. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that shit. Sorry. But,
I actually have a question.
Okay,
I actually probably missed this because I had a problem getting on to Blog Talk in the beginning. But hey, chat.
Yeah, I know everybody seems to have that. Yeah.
And
go ahead.
I missed it, please excuse me, Nikki. I have a question. Number one, and this is the question. This is the question that everyone hates. What was your influence for Jade's Diary?
Do you want the long version or the short version?
The short version. Give me Cliff Notes version.
Well, you got 30 minutes, so go ahead.
A woman only works on the short? Wow. I thought you were going to want the life story.
Damn, okay.
No, she's like, first, you know, I was a little emotional when I started writing the book. And it was really funny on that day. Like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, my God. All the time. The short version short version of it is I lost my job, and so I was sitting at home, clipping my unemployment, and I just had this thought in my head. I said, you know, and I just happened to see, you know, somebody dying. I saw a chick, and I saw that she was kind of like out there shooting the men and the women, whatever, whatever. So then I sat down one day at the computer, and then I started typing on the computer, and that's how I ended up getting James Bowery out. I mean, it wasn't like any necessary inspiration behind it. I just happened to see some type of plot in my head, and I kind of knew I wanted, you know, a kind of lesbian feel to it, so I wanted to have, you know, some kind of plot with it as well. So that's all I happened to see in my head. And so I went from there and just started typing, and that's how it came out.
Okay.
That's the short version of it.
Okay,
just me. I know you got another question. Go ahead. come on now.
You know, I'm gonna be.
Go ahead. This the time to ask.
I really like James Diary. It was really, really good. I haven't read part two, and maybe I need to read part two.
No. There are no part two. There are not be no.
Because see, I thought I saw a James Diary too, and I wasn't confused.
Okay. I part two to James Diary, but I haven't finished it yet. So I'm hoping to get that done. You know, hopefully soon, whatever, so I can get it out there. So because everyone can keep asking about part two yet. So I mean, just for me, when I wrote James Diary, the first one, I wasn't thinking in my head about a sequel. That wasn't in my thought process. So, I mean, now it's kind of harder for me to write the sequel because I don't know what to do with the characters. So it's coming a little harder for me to come up with a sequel to it.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Did you ever have a problem, because I haven't read, I'm an anthology girl. I've only done anthologies so far. I have not written my first full-length novel yet. Did you have a problem with editing? Did you have a problem with editing in the beginning?
I did. I went through a couple people. Maybe it was my first time doing it, what have you. I had to do a couple of corrected versions of it. So I redid it a couple times. But when I finally got it right, then I would put it out into the world. So, I mean, editing can be an issue depending, you know, the different people, whatever. But, I mean, you have to do it best that you can. Work with people who you have around you. Trust them and go and keep them moving. So, yeah, I didn't have a problem with it, but I went back and corrected that and kept them moving.
Okay.
Where is this going? I'm trying to figure it out.
This is women talk. It's best that we just put the phone down and go ahead and let them do this thing. And then get back on like, yeah, girl, I was listening.
Okay, but we got 27 minutes, so y'all go ahead on and do this, and we will be back in just a second while y'all talk about it. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead. I'm going to go back to the chat right while y'all doing this so I can see what the hell Mickey's talking about, because I know she's out there laugh my ass off. Okay.
Oh, my God.
What are you scared of, girl? Laugh my ass off. Okay, I'm going to leave that shit alone. This is women on Word Sexy Radio going at each other or talking to each other. I don't know what's going on, but okay.
I'm going to tell you.
What's wrong?
I read a lot, okay? Mm-hmm. And I read, and I stop reading so I can write. So I go through phases. And I struggle sometimes. And I try to get past it, and I really, really try to get past it. But I try to get past when I read authors that I had not read before, and I have grammar issues during the time that I'm reading, and that it kills me. There's an author that I'm going to let remain nameless, and I read her book last year. She gave me a copy, and said, "I want you to read this. I need you to read it." Okay. And her book is published. She's a self-published author. But I couldn't get past the first two chapters because the editing and the grammar was so bad. Once the editing and the grammar is so bad, I have to put it down. So that's why I was wondering, Have you had a problem, and how did you solve your problem? Because I haven't read the last book.
Like I said, I mean, I had an issue, like I said, with the grammatics. I mean, I had to change different people, you know, during that time. But when you find the right person, you go with them, you know, you trust what they're doing, but you go back behind them and read it yourself, correct it yourself as well, and then you just go forward from there.
Yeah, because I know editing can be a problem. You know, you got to get one thing I've learned, and I'm learning because my books had that problem as well. They're getting better, and I had to learn to get an editor that learns your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
once they learn what it is that you're doing and your voice, and they understand what you're trying to say, then they can help you to form those words. Just like DV has with his editor, they mesh very well, and she knows what he's trying to say, and they work it out. And that's what you have to do when you get an editor. You're going to have to get someone that you can work out with you and is willing to listen to what you're saying and learn what it is that you're trying to say in the voice that you have without changing your voice, but being able to put the words and the grammatics in place. That's what you have to do.
Right.
I mean, I'm working with someone now. I have nothing. I love my editor. Love her to death. Have to say that disclaimer first. Sometimes she kills me. Because she'll call me and she'll say, I sent your stuff to you. I said, okay. Call me when you get off, after you read it. Okay. And I'll send her a text message during the day and say, okay, are you killing me now or later? And, I mean, they've gone as far as to threaten me with bodily harm. So when they don't get stuff like they want to. And I work really, mm-hmm. really well with her. And she's really good, mm-hmm. and she knows my voice, and she can usually figure out where I'm going. And if she doesn't see that I'm going where I need to go, she'll stop me and say, okay, if this is what you're trying to say, you need to do it differently. And, mm-hmm. and we work really, really well together. And I wish everybody could work with her and that company. But sometimes I just wonder, and I know a lot of independent writers don't go with editors. They try to do it on their own. And I just want to say I urge them to find somebody, even if you can find your old high school English teacher. Somebody needs to sit down and read before you push that stuff out there, because it's not only a reflection of you. We're going to be stereotyped anyway, not only as being new, but we're going to be stereotyped for those of us who are African-American, for those of us who are women, for those of us who are lesbian, who are straight, who are whatever. We're going to be stereotyped, so it's important that we realize we need to get somebody to double-check stuff. That's just
me. And you're absolutely right on that, but I'll tell you what the whole problem is with a lot of this, too, for some people, is you got these editors that's killing you, man, with the prices. Like $1,500, man, to go over your book and to do all this stuff. And, you know, I mean, I know you want your work to be perfected. You want your work to be as best as you can. Just like DV says. I'm serious.
But
am I wrong? Am I wrong what I'm saying? What I'm saying is sometimes these editors will kill you with prices. I know you want your stuff
and
to be correct.
I understand it. So you have to find a way around it. Like I said, find an English student, somebody who's in their last year. Find somebody.
Right.
You can find those people. I mean, I personally am an English major, and I make some massive mistakes somewhere along the line. But find somebody that can help you. There's somebody there. Go to the colleges and find an English professor who will do it and not charge you $1,500. The editor that I'm working with is charging me a wonderful price, and I love her to death. Just so that disclaimer's out there, I love her to death. And she's not charging me $1,500 yet, because she knows I'm a little poor. But students will do it. And they will do it because they know that if you ever hit big time, however how small big time is, how big time is, they know you are not going to forget they exist. They're going to get their props one way along the line, and they use it on their resume. They use it in the portfolio. They can say, okay, I edited for her. She's now writing for Zane. She's now writing for DB Donna Ink Press. She's now writing for Red Snapper. These are things that mean a lot.
Right, exactly.
True.
And you're right. You're absolutely correct. So
$1,500.
Okay, now all this was said... because of what? Just good knowledge, right? Because, I mean, are you saying that? Okay, I got you. I'm going to leave that alone. Women, y'all do y'all thing. I see DV back there keeping his mouth shut. He just like keeping his mouth shut.
I'm still wrapping my head around $1,500 for some editing.
Man, I'm serious. There are some editors out there. I'm serious. There are editors that's charging between $1,200 and $1,500 to do your work for you. I'm serious, man.
For $1,500, you better be giving me some 88.
Hello.
Well, I tell you what, for $1,500, your book better be a guaranteed New York Times bestseller.
Hello.
For $1,500,
you want your money to be in my bill.
Look, I'm talking about, he just wants his dick sucked, but I'm just saying, I mean, $1,500.
Hey, I said she needs to be in my bill, too, for $1,500.
Yeah. So, I mean, and like I said, you know, for those who want that kind of work, then that's fine. And I think that when they do that, I think that, I don't know if they're trying to take advantage or what they're doing, but, you know, and they know you need this work done. You know, they know you need the editing, and I hate that. And I'm not trying to dog editors, so if you're listening, editors, don't get mad and fuck up my shit or whatever, but I'm just saying that,
hey, Red.
You know, we need help, man, and we don't need y'all to kill us. Just like the people, when we had Deshaun on last week about the covers. You know, you got people out there that do covers for you. They try to kill you because they know that the cover is what's going to sell the book. You know, I mean, it's just really terrible how they try to get over on you. And it's us. We need to stop doing it to each other. You know what I'm saying?
You know what?
It's always us people.
Go ahead. I mean, we steady giving each other advice, but we're not pointing each other in the right direction. I mean, if I meet a great editor who charges cheap prices, you know, I should direct other people towards that particular person or that particular company so that they can build up their brand and be able to help more people rather than selfishly keeping them myself because I don't want them to get out because I may have something I want them to look at. You know, so we have a tendency to be, you know, selfish and a little overprotective of the deals or the hookups that we get.
Right. That's why I wanted Deshaun on. He's a great author, but he does great work, man, with the book covers. I'm telling you, you'd be surprised some of these book covers is out here on these books that his company has done, and he's doing them for like $250 or less. And there's other companies out
there
charging you $500-$600 a cover. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we just need to start helping each other, stop trying to get over on each other and trying to get paid off each other, and just let's get our stuff out there. Like Just Me said, there is a lot of us out here trying to make it just because we black and we can't. So why we got to fuck each other around? I don't know why we do that. But anyway, let me get off of that.
And, hey, Red, you have a question in the chat room, bro.
I do have a question in the chat room. Let me go there.
Yes,
we got about
would you like me to read it for you?
Yes, please read it for me.
It says, why are men so insecure about their sexuality? They have to put it out there that they are not gay instead of just being a great writer and using your imagination.
Okay.
Ooh, I hate that question. Next question.
You know something? Well, it's directed to me because I wrote the gay shit. But anyway, okay, look, I don't have no problem with my sexuality. I'm not worried about it. But the only reason why I had to explain that shit is because there was another man on the show that was trying to put me out here like
I was
gay.
It's not just put it you. It goes to BB as well and any other man.
Okay, BB, what you got to say about that?
Like, look. You know, there's a difference. I as a man know what I'm comfortable with and know what I am uncomfortable with. You know, the
and you're
gay
uncomfortable
friend that
with a dick anywhere close to your ass, right?
That's very uncomfortable.
Hey, I'm starting to hear violins. I'm starting to hear violins playing.
Because you know what? I'm gonna tell you. When men get together and talk, we don't talk about anatomy of ourselves, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm not walking up to no other man and be like, yo, man, you know, how big is your dick? Because to me, that's gay. You know, not to some other man, that's perfectly fine. You know, women...
I'm not doing that shit. I'm not going to walk up and say,
okay, so
why
is it a double standard that women can sit up and write about lesbianism and everybody's okay with that, but men can't write about another man's
what are you talking about? Like,
anatomy.
I used to read Elin Harris. Now, when it got to the scenes that I was a little uncomfortable with, you know, I'd pass those pages. You know what I'm saying? Because the rest of the story was great. The man-on-man crime was, you know, much for my, you know, because I'm a visual person. If I read just, it, I can see it. And seeing it too high.
Well, most men are visual anyway.
Go at each other is just, you know, not my idea of a great time. So,
well, just me. Let me try to answer that for you. Society has this shit. Okay, I'm going to say American society because it ain't the whole society of the world. American society has this taboo about the gay shit being what it is. Because they put out the macho-ness and all that. But they also put out that it's okay to be with it. Now, when they say, when they have two women together, they always be fine as hell, both of them. They don't have the male-looking gayish or lesbian-looking hard one on the girl. It's always got to be two fine women with big-ass titties and big old ass, and they all, you know, that's what they visualize. I don't know why it's that way, but that's what it is. So.
Okay. So, if you're comfortable with yourself, why do you have to justify it all the time?
Ooh, you know, that's a good question.
Got you by the balls.
That is a good question. No, she don't.
Because
if she had my balls, my shit be hard right now.
I got another one for you. I got one more.
She ain't got my balls because my shit be hard now. No, okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm sure your shit is hard right now, especially if I talk to you, baby, the way I need to.
Well, you need to. Once you call me after. Or just come to Red Snapper's Guild and we can talk shit on there.
I can do that without a problem.
You forgot the buzzer.
Okay.
But let me ask you this.
That would deserve the buzzer.
So you're saying in the gym, if there's another man in the locker room and you happen to see that the brother is packing, that's a good visual.
Why are you looking?
I'm going to look anyway because if he's in the women's locker room, I'm sure the hell going to look.
If he's in the men's locker room, you ain't.
Okay, well, we can ask you that question then.
And you know, I'm what? I wouldn't do it myself.
You looking at titties and ass? You looking at titties and ass
what?
For you in the gym?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you, and I hope I didn't invite nobody that I work with that's on this radio show today. There is
okay.
This one woman that I work with. That
I love it. Bring it on, baby. Bring it. Bring it.
And every time she walks past my desk, I tend to look around. She turns my ass. I get hot as hell. And they laugh at me at work because they think.
You heard that shit right here on Word Sexy Radio. All right, go ahead.
They laughed at me because one day my supervisor caught me and he said, "What are you looking at?" I said, "I'm trying to see what shoes she's wearing today." So,
but you know, I see women looking at women all the time. Matter of fact, I was with this one lady Friday night, matter of fact, and I was talking to her, and we was having a great conversation, but it seemed like every woman that walked by, she was looking at the girl's ass and looking at her legs and shit, and, you know,
well,
I said, damn, she wants some pussy.
And, but
yeah,
you know what?
Said,
we look as women, and that's the point. I can look at another woman and say, you know what? You have really, really nice legs. I have friends who told me at one point, you know, you have really, really nice legs. You really need to show them more often. And, Red, Mickey wants to be tapped in.
Yeah.
Who
was that?
Mickey wants to be tapped in.
Come on, Nikki.
Mickey Parker. Mickey Parker wants to be tapped in.
Oh, she wants to be tapped in. Okay,
into
where is she
conversation.
At? Okay, is this her number? Okay, are you here?
Yep.
Nikki, are you? Okay, good. All right, we got about 11 minutes, so let's get this done.
So we tend to look at other women because that's what we do, and you can't tell me that men don't look at other men.
They probably do, but they ain't gonna admit the shit.
If a man,
they ain't gonna never admit it. You know why? Because society is fucked up.
Oh
where
my
if
God,
a man said that shit,
know.
He's
like,
oh,
I'd be the
listen,
first.
Listen, no, listen.
If a man is pretty, you'd be like, that's a pretty dude. You know, that dude is very pretty.
But what I'm saying is, she's talking about like, she's talking about looking at a motherfucker's dick and shit, talking about, damn, he got a nice dick. What
yeah,
the fuck am I
doing? Look at it. I'm gonna be first. I ain't about to be like, look at the ass on that brother. Oh,
yeah, you know, look at his ass. Look at his ass and shit. No, ain't nobody doing that.
I would say that if a woman was just like in front of me, if I was with a woman, she's like, man, she got nice tits. I was like, that is great that you noticed that. But if,
oh yeah, because it's accepted in society that women can do that.
But wait, if I was to say, man, look at the ass on that dude, that woman would get up and walk away. You know what I'm saying? She's like, you need some time alone. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
exactly. And dude's going to be like, damn, this motherfucker want him? It's just
Wait,
not
I have
accepted.
A question. I got a question.
Just me. It's just not accepted. Who is this, Mickey?
Mickey's got a question. Yeah, this is Mickey.
Come on, Mickey. Come on, baby.
All right, now. Y'all go to the bathroom all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Together.
We have to
see each other. Hold on. Y'all see each other on the regular.
Okay. Right.
I went to a convention with a whole bunch of kids, and we accidentally got put into the boys' locker room because we had to take showers. It was a whole bunch of girls, little girls. And the way that the bathroom is set up, you have to take showers together. There's no curtains. There's no privacy. You have to look at each other no matter what. And you know in your head, you're like, man, his dick is bigger than mine. You know in your head, but you don't get
about to say
you
that
don't
shit.
Come out and
you
say
about
it.
To hopefully, you about to jerk off and hopefully your shit bigger than his by the time y'all leave.
Yes, you do, because that's male ego.
The way American society is set up, though. I'm sorry. American
you and the society stuff is bullshit.
Virility
is bullshit.
You know, a man's
that's
virility.
Why I'm saying that.
But see, we do,
really
like,
is.
Women don't help. Because a lot of women equate a man's virility with the size of his penis. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, if me and dude walk inside a shower and this man got a dick at his kneecap, I'm walking out the shower.
Are you scared?
No, he might just whip that thing and, you know, in the wrong direction.
It's been times that I've been in a room with someone else, you know, having relations or whatever, and if their girl is screaming louder than I was screaming, then they were, like, intimidated.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
you try to beat it harder. You try to. I mean, it's like a whole male ego thing. It's nothing but like.
It is male ego. You know why? He thinks, okay, his dick must be harder. He must be doing better. So I got to make this motherfucker holler too. But
right.
You're right. That is male shit. That is male bullshit.
I don't feel like you guys need to justify yourself all the time.
There's a lot of men that are inherently competitive. So the thing is, if me and my girl in a room and we going at it, and she's screaming like a banshee, and that other dude's woman is not screaming like a banshee, he gonna take it like a punch to the face. Why? Because he like, I can't please my woman like that dude is pleasing his woman.
But a man's
libido.
Because
she's not making noise does not mean he ain't pleasing her, though.
No, but remember, a man's libido is directly attached to his pride. If he feel like he breaking you off, he going to stay hard for a minute. If he feel he ain't doing shit, his dick ain't going to stay hard. And that's
but
just,
you know what? That shows
that's
not a woman that's willing to please her man, because she's going to make those noises and do whatever she has to do to make sure that her man feels like he's doing what he's supposed to do. You forget how many, you know, we are masters. We're complete and total masters at letting you think you done broke us off and you ain't did nothing.
Oh, shit. Damn.
I wouldn't know about that.
Where's my music? I deserve music on that one.
Wow.
Damn.
Called y'all out.
You know something? She didn't call me out, but anyway. We got about 7 minutes left. And what we're going to have to do, y'all, is we're going to have to take this over to Red Snapper's Gill and continue this going, because this is some good shit. Y'all should have came in earlier. Why y'all wait so late to come in?
We told you to read.
Hey, they was talking on the chat room. What happened to Lisa? Y'all ran her ass away or what?
She ain't been on in a while.
She was on here for a minute, and then she jumped off. But anyway, y'all got these questions all in red. Tell Red. Don't get off just me. Tap me in. What's up? I got all this shit. But look, we thank y'all. Nikki, we thank you for coming on. I'm sorry. We got about 6 minutes.
We need the anthology information, Nikki.
But that's what happens. We're not letting you go yet, but that's what happens on Word Sexy Radio. We just get to talking shit. We let you talk about your
Nikki
stuff, and then
that.
after that, we get on it. And just me is not going to let you go. She's going to make sure that you... fucking say something that she want to hear, right?
See, you gonna set her up for that one.
No. Okay, go ahead, Nikki.
Nikki on Red Snapper or the Guild or whatever, because she didn't say too much. But I would like her insight as well if we go over there and continue to chat.
Who do you want over there, Nikki?
Nikki, yeah.
Yeah, Nikki's
I'm
a member of the Guild. All she got to do is just tap in.
Here.
Yeah,
and
DV's a member. It's just me. Are you a member?
No, I haven't been able to get in.
We're going to put you. I got to get you in there. All I got to do is just add you to the list. Okay.
And DV's full of crap.
What?
Oh, shit. Okay.
You know what?
I love you, DV.
And Nikki, you're going to tell us all about the anthology, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, go ahead and take this last 5 minutes, Nikki, and kind of explain how you want them to get that anthology information to you. And when? What's the deadline?
You got to talk sexy. You got to talk sexy.
Got to talk quick. Got to talk sexy, though. Come on, sexy now.
Okay, we're taking a submission for our anthology starting on on June 1st, all the way into September the 1st. I'm looking for out-of-the-box plots between 25-50 pages long. We're looking for at least 6 or 7 unsigned authors who are nice and hot, who have good things to write about that are outside the box. And then, like I said, if you look on my page or look on Facebook, you'll see all the information that you can send it to. Like I said, it's June the 1st, it ends September the 1st. It should be out sometime next year.
All right. Well, we thank you, Nikki, for coming on the show, and we're going to take this thing over to Red Snappers Guild. If you're not a member out there that's listening, just tap me on Facebook, Red Snappers Guild on Facebook, and you can come on in and we can continue to talk. DV, what you got, man, before we go?
Oh, man. I just want to say to Nikki, your daddy, and I want to say to Jeff Mee, you know, I appreciate you coming on the show. No, real talk, I appreciate it. Like, it was really, I really appreciate listening to Nikki Urban and her insight. I appreciate the insight that the women brought, you know, Mickey and,
right.
you know, just me. So, you know, I'm good, you know. I'll be
good,
jumping
huh?
on real soon. I'll be jumping on real soon to defend men everywhere.
All right. Well, look, man, you need to defend men on the guild, man, because we need some more gentlemen on there, because the women is killing us on the guild, man. You need to come on.
All right, dig it.
Okay. Well, we thank y'all, and we're going to go ahead and let it go with Joe Sample.